title. There's a big difference. We can say it, but do we live it? Let's look at the background before we get into the actual psalm, just for a few moments. This psalm applied to David and all of Israel being under the direct care of God as their shepherd through the law. And Ezekiel prophecy regarding Israel before and during their isolation helps us see this. Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 to 12. Ezekiel 34, 11 to 12. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. That's some pretty good shepherding right there. As a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep and will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. So God is the shepherd for Israel. He says, I myself will seek them out. For the church, for us here and now, Jesus is our shepherd. Unequivocally. How do we know that? Ezekiel 34 tells us. Ezekiel 34 verses 23 and 24. Then I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David. Can't get much more obvious than that. I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will feed them, and he will feed them himself and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. My servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. So the first thing is when we talk about the 23rd Psalm as a Christian, and we say, the Lord is my shepherd, who are we speaking of? Our Lord Jesus. Let us be clear on that, because what this psalm does is it gives us a very cohesive, personal view of the shepherd and the sheep. I'm going to sum up this entire talk in 8 words, just 8. Now, for me, that's pretty remarkable, and I'm quoting from the scriptures. That's how it can be done, okay? But in these next 8 words, this is the point of this next hour. This is Psalm 23, verse 1 from the New International Version. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Let that be a Selah moment for you. Observe and consider, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. I could be all done, but I'm going to fill a time. So as we go through this, we have to ask ourselves this question, and I'm going to ask this question again and again. Is the Lord really my shepherd? Is he really my shepherd? If he is, then I am now and will always be well supplied. Because that's what Psalm 23:1 says. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Means I have everything that I could possibly need. Not want, but need. The idea of lacking nothing for sheep in the wilderness of the country of Judea is very contradictory. Because if you go out to that wilderness, it seems to lack everything. And we'll develop that as we go. But the shepherd turns this apparent lack into actual abundance. How does he do that? He leads. John 10, verses 14 to 15. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, even as the Father knows me and I know the Father. I lay my life down for my sheep. Okay, stop right there. You have a shepherd who says and lives, I lay my life down for my sheep. Think about that. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Having such a shepherd gives us clear confidence that all our needs will be met. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus, who is our shepherd. All your needs are supplied in Christ Jesus. He's our shepherd. Having a lack nothing attitude can only be maintained by keeping our focus clear. And brethren, do you ever wonder about if only I, or what if this could, or maybe if? That's not the lack nothing attitude. Let's think about this and realize what the sheep do is they stay right with the shepherd. The sheep that stay close to the shepherd are safest, most well nourished, and cared for. It's simple as that. Hebrews 12, 2 and 3. Focusing in on staying near the shepherd to have that lack nothing attitude. Hebrews 12, 2 and 3. Fixing our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, making little of the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. For our sheep, what that means is the shepherd's gone through it all. I can have confidence that he can bring me through whatever it is that I need to face. That's what Hebrews 12, 2 and 3 is telling us. Trusting in my shepherd. So we're going to start each point with the question, is the Lord really my shepherd? And I'm going to finish each point with, okay, trusting in my shepherd. As a true Christian, the very basis of my life must be faith in Jesus. It has to be. If I truly follow, then I will truly be cared for. That's a trick sentence, you know. If I truly follow, well, I'm following. Really? Truly? Let's look at each and every moment of each and every day. And let's put that to the test. If I truly follow, I'm truly cared for. That's a challenge. Brother, our best appreciation of the 23rd Psalm comes when we understand the practical challenges and solutions that a shepherd in ancient Israel would have faced. David establishes the shepherd's competence. He tells us all the things that he did. It's like the 23rd Psalm is the shepherd's resume. And you're seeing, yep, he does this. Yep, he does that. Yep, he's hired. Because he covers all of the things that are necessary. David next walks us through the areas of life and care that shepherds are responsible for. Psalm 23, verse 2. Now, I'm going to be reading from a lot of different translations when we do the 23rd Psalm. I just was looking for the translation that most spoke to the specific verse. So this is Young's literal translation, Psalm 23, 2. In pastures of tender grass, he causes me to lie down. By quiet waters, he doth lead me. So, practical application. Is the Lord really my shepherd? If he is, then I am now and will always be well fed, rested, and refreshed. Now, come on. You know in your life, you don't feel well fed, rested, and refreshed all the time. Because life is full of trials. It doesn't say you won't feel that way. It says you will be cared for. See, so we have to understand that this is not about a feeling. This is about the actual following. Feeling is not what we're talking about. Following is what we're focusing on. The actual reality of these pastures of tender grass is different than we imagine. When it says in the verse, in pastures of tender grass, don't you kind of picture this big green meadow and the sheep just go running in and they can just go anywhere and just eat and eat and eat and eat. That's what I've always pictured. The only thing is that's not the reality in the wilderness of Judea. Not even close. Albert Barnes says this. The word rendered in the margin tender grass refers to the first shoots of vegetation from the earth. Young herbage, tender grass, as clothing the meadows, as a delicate food for cattle. It differs from the ripe grass ready for mowing, which is expressed by a different word. So this is the tender grass that comes up overnight. The shepherd needs to know where to find it because it's very nourishing. So the shepherd's job isn't to say, oh, look, there's grass, go get it.
Sorry.
The shepherd's job is to look for those places that he knows those tender green shoots will be springing up to properly feed his sheep. It's not easy. He has to know the territory. He's got to know what's where. He's got to know what the weather conditions are, so he brings his sheep to the right places for that tender grass. So we have feeding and resting, following and resting. Let's talk about feeding for a moment. Feeding and rest are the companion activities when properly applied, and they bring new energy. When you've been fed, you feel good and ready to go. Back to Ezekiel 34, the last part of verse 13 to verse 15. It says, "And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the streams and in all the inhabited places of the land. I will feed them in a good pasture, and the grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel." Grazing ground on the mountain heights of Israel. We'll get back to that in a few minutes. "I will feed my flock. I will lead them to rest," declares the Lord God. Our shepherd provides a bounty of food and a very unique kind of rest, because our shepherd is Jesus. We're not literal sheep. We are spiritual sheep. Here's how he feeds us. In Matthew 4, verses 3 to 4, he sets the example. Matthew 4, 3 to 4, "And the tempter came to him and said, 'If you're the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but at every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.'" Now, we all know that. We all know that temptation, as Satan is trying to get Jesus to do miracles for his own benefit. So Jesus is obviously in a place where there's nothing to eat. And Jesus' response to him is, "I don't need to worry about this because I live on the word of God." So in the sparseness of everything that you've shown me and said, yes, you can make bread out of these stones, that's not my concern, because I already have the nourishment. And this is spiritual, of course. Our shepherd, sheep who follow seek to know what God's word really says. If we're feeding on the word, then it is not enough to casually read the word. It simply isn't. 2 Timothy 2:15, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." It's like you say, "I'm very hungry and I want to be fed." And you have your Bible, and you have our study helps. You've got the reprints and the volumes, and you say, and then you just flip through and you read a few chapters of the Bible, and you close and say, "Yeah, I guess it's okay." Feed. It's been given to you. You know, the shepherd can bring the sheep to the food, but he's not going to push their face down into it and make them eat it. He will bring us there. We have to partake. Sheep who follow, and again, that's another phrase we're going to keep using, because, you know, sometimes sheep don't. Not a good situation. We'll touch on that later. Sheep who follow also can rest in the assurance that our shepherd carries our load with us. In Matthew 11, 28 to 30, these are very familiar verses. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light." It's still a yoke. It's still a place where there's work to be done. But what he's saying is, it's not going to hurt you because I'm in it with you. So my yoke is easy. My yoke is there to help you accomplish, not to hurt. So when we think about resting, there's a rest that can be found in service, because that yoke is tolerable. It's handleable, because our Lord is in it with us. That's part of our spiritual rest. Back to the physical wilderness for a moment. John Gill commentary says, "He leadeth me beside the still waters," or waters of rest and quietness. And he makes a comparison. "Not the rapid torrents, by which reason of the noise they make and the swiftness of their motion, the sheep are frightened and not able to drink of them, but to the still waters, pure and clear, that go softly. Leading is in a gentle way, as they are able to bear it." So these are very simple principles in Psalm 23. But the challenge is to take those simple principles of physical sheep and say, how do I live as a sheep? You know, the sheep are afraid of rushing water. They're afraid of the sound. They're afraid of the motion. and it will send them into a panic. The shepherd knows I'm not bringing them there. Now, sheep can wander there on their own, but the shepherd knows to not bring them there. Leading to these still waters gives sheep security, especially in our tumultuous world. And just to remind you, and incidentally, I'm not telling you anything new at all. All I'm reminding you of is the simplicity of the trust that we must have in our Lord Jesus. The simplicity of the trust and the fullness of the loyalty to follow him wherever, whenever, however, without question. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Back to the waters. A reminder of the kind of water that sends fear into people. Psalm 46, verses 3 to 5. Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride, you've got the roaring of the waters, and have you ever seen, and I'm going to use an adjective, an angry ocean? It's scary. It's powerful, and it has the power to take away everything in its path. And that's what the psalmist is talking about. And then he says in verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. Sheep who follow drink only water that their shepherd leads them to. And if that's where the Father is, that's where the shepherd leads us. It's really that simple. It's so simple, it's difficult. Because life is not a straight line. It turns you around and confuses you, and it gets us to a point where we're not sure which end is up and what do I do now. Lord is your shepherd. You lack nothing. Let's continue. Trusting in our shepherd regarding the feeding and the following and the resting. As disciples, our basic survival need for food, water, and rest are met when we follow Jesus. That's simple. Feed where he brings us to feed, and drink where he brings us to drink. Feed where he brings us to feed, and drink where he brings us to drink. And all of that has to do with the harmony of the Word of God. This enables our anxiety and our life to be reduced because we can truly and should truly rest in him. Again, sounds simple, but it's not easy. Psalm 23, verse 3, the very first few words of verse 3, this is New American Standard. He restores my soul. Is the Lord really my shepherd? If he is, then I will now and always be rescued from the hand of darkness. I will now and always be rescued from the hand of darkness. Now, the shepherd saves the lives of his sheep. We're going to look at two ways that this may happen. Incidentally, another commercial timeout. Understand that there is so much about sheep, and there's so much written, and there's so many commentaries that I'm going to leave a whole lot of things out. And that's not necessarily on purpose, but you just pick and choose what you can cover in 1 hour. Okay, so if there's other thoughts that are you can add, absolutely add them to the lesson. Absolutely add them. So, two ways he saves our lives. First of all, enemies from without, from out the outside, can come and try to snatch a sheep away to kill it. That's a pretty obvious one. David had proven to be such a worthy shepherd that he was given permission to fight Goliath. Think about that. What was David's resume? I fought in this battle. I fought in that battle. I slew this many of the enemy. No. Here's his resume. 1 Samuel 17:34-36, talking to King Saul. Your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock. I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and I struck him and killed him. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of God. his resume wasn't military. They're spending 40 days of listening to Goliath's taunts, looking for a military response, and up comes a shepherd who defeats the giant because his resume was complete. That's the power of David's shepherding. We know that Jesus battled with Satan, and from the very start of his ministry, he has proven victorious. Now, Satan hasn't stopped trying. Subject for another day. But in Luke 10, 17 to 18, Jesus had sent the 70 out. And here's what happens when they return. The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." In the name of the shepherd, even the demons were subject to them. Jesus saw this response, and his response to it was very telling. Because he sees the plan of God unfolding. And he says, "I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning." In other words, this is telling us what's going to happen. So the shepherd sent the 70 out. And they came back with these glowing reports. "In your name, because we went out as representatives of you." So the enemies without can be dangerous. Your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We've got all kinds of things on the outside that can hurt us. There's also the enemy from within. Sometimes we misstep or we fall into compromise. Now, the next point I want to make about literal shepherding is one that I haven't heard a lot of brethren talk about. And I actually learned this from my dad when I was a kid. I remember him mentioning this in a talk that he gave, and I don't know that I've ever heard it since. So I looked it up, and sure enough, it was there. There is a danger of sheep becoming what's called cast or cast down. Now, what does that mean? A cast sheep has fallen onto its back. And when a sheep falls onto its back in certain seasons, it can't get up. It absolutely is helpless and hopeless, and it will die. It's laying there on its back. It's struggling, and there's nothing it can do. Sometimes sheep fall, and they're able to. But here's what happens. Sheep are prone to becoming cast in the spring when they're pregnant and top-heavy. Okay? What do you do? Here's what the shepherd does. The shepherd watches his flock, and if he sees a cast sheep, he very quietly and calmly walks up to it, and gently pushes it so it can stand up on its own legs. And when it stands up, it's disoriented, and it thrashes about for a moment, and then usually shakes things off, looks around, and finds the flock and goes back. A cast down sheep is helpless and hopeless. It misstepped. It went where it shouldn't have. It wasn't watching. And when they fall, they will die. Look it up online. Find a video that shows a shepherd saving a sheep like this. It's really remarkable. And it's a very poignant lesson. "For he restores my soul. He saves my life." Sheep who follow have the assurance that when we slip or fall, our shepherd will rescue us. Why is that? Because if we're staying near him and we do happen to take that misstep and fall, he will see us because we are staying near him. And he will stop what he's doing and gently. And you know, in the videos I watched, they talked about approach them gently and quietly because you don't want to alarm them. They're already out of sorts. And he gently will come. Push us over so we can stand up, shake it off, and go back to the flock. John chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." We have an advocate. So Jesus doesn't literally walk up to us and push us over. What does an advocate do? He stands or sits by you and represents you if you are in a bad way. That's what we have. That's our spiritual shepherd. That's the promise we have of security, because the shepherd won't leave our side. What time do I have till? Another half hour? Okay, good. Whew. I panicked. I did. Sheep who follow know that they have also have protective responsibilities toward their fellow sheep. Brother, it's not enough for us to just follow Jesus. It's me and Jesus. It's Jesus and me. I follow Jesus. Jesus takes care of me. And that's the way my life will be. That's a beautiful thing. But that's not the whole story. Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. You notice the spirit of gentleness? Each one looking to yourself so you too will not be tempted. So when we look at this spiritual picture of being the sheep of Jesus, one of the things we have to realize is we're not just helpless followers. Now, in one sense, we are, because we need our shepherd for everything. But in another sense, we as the flock of sheep have to be together and help one another. Brethren, we have troubles in this world. Lots and lots of troubles. And sometimes Jesus helps us through a brother or a sister. I may have trouble, and maybe Brother Dan, in fellowship with me, talks to me and encourages me and helps me see things a little bit differently. And gently, with that encouragement, helps me stand up and shake off the frustration and the confusion to say, okay, I can do this now. Do not underestimate the role that each of us plays in keeping that flock of sheep together. We must be supportive of one another. So, summing up, he restores my soul, trusting in my shepherd. The privilege of being in a flock that Jesus shepherds, can you put a price on it? Yeah, it's incalculable. His care for us is eternal and begins in the here and now. So let us watch that our every step continues to be in harmony with where our shepherd leads. And let us be continually thankful for his watch care over our imperfections. And brethren, when we do slip and fall, newsflash, you will know that if we are following, he will be there to gently approach and push us back up onto our feet. Know that for sure, because the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. The second part of Psalm 23, verse 3. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Is the Lord really my shepherd? If he is, then I am here and now will always be clearly guided in the ways of righteousness. So I can be mature, a mature representation of Jesus himself. That's what we're supposed to grow up into. When I grow up, I want to be as much of a mirror image of Christ as is possible in this messed up physical human pile of stuff. We want to be as much as possible a reflection of our Lord. Paths of righteousness. Now again, you can look at that and say, there's the highway. Go. That's not what a path of righteousness is. The word for path is very, very revealing. Word for path is the Hebrew word 4570. I'm not going to pronounce it. It means a track, literally or figuratively, as a rampart, as circular. As circular. Why? Well, let's go back to the land of Judea and the wilderness in which David shepherded. The land that shepherds guide the flock through is a land of challenge. When guiding a sheep down a mountainside, remember it says they feed up on the mountains? If you're going to get them up there, what do you have to do? You got to get them down, right? See, shepherding is not, oh, okay, now you're full, good. Run down the side of the mountain, let's see who gets there first. That's not what works, because sheep will be hurt terribly in that kind of a thing. So the shepherd can't bring the sheep straight down that mountain. So what does he do? Instead, they go round and round the mountain to safely get back to ground level. It's this circuitous path. That's what paths of righteousness means. It's a circular path that instead of looking down that steep thing and saying, oh boy, this is going to hurt, it's saying, I will follow my shepherd carefully and in a calculated way and work my way down back to the pasture level. I will work my way down by following him round and round and round. Righteousness is not a straight line. In our world, righteousness is achieved by going round and round and round because we are not strong enough to just stand firmly once for all. Jesus was, we are not. Shepherds who follow know that a life of righteousness is never a straight line to victory. Psalm 51 verses 10 to 13. Here's the round and round. There's certain words that I'm going to put some accent on. The first word in verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God. Next, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Verse 12, restore me to the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will be converted to you. It doesn't say create in me a clean heart so I can teach transgressors. It says there's a process and it's a round and round process. Create, renew, restore, and sustain. We have to go through the process of following the shepherd because it's the path of righteousness. And even though it takes time, we get there. How do we know we're getting there? Well, who are you following? That's how you know you're getting there, because you're following the shepherd. Sheep who follow know the path is difficult and are willing to walk where the shepherd walks. We talk about being a disciple of Christ all the time, walking in his footsteps. That's a nice visual. You know how hard that is? Walking in his footsteps. But that's what the shepherd is showing us. Walk where I walk, and I will protect you. Righteousness can only thrive when humility is strong. Humility is shown by following, not leading, following. Lead me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Sheep who follow are tasked with a very profound purpose. Sheep who follow have a life that has a very deep meaning. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 20 to 21. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Stop. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Psalm 23 says, for his name's sake. If you're an ambassador for Christ, what do? You are representing the name of Christ for his name's sake. The path of righteousness, that circuitous path, is for his name's sake. Why? Because that's how he leads us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Verse 21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. So, listen to these words, brethren, the words of the Apostle Paul, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So that we might become the righteousness of God in him. How do you become that? Slowly, circuitous path, following the shepherd down through the trials and tribulations of life. That's what's required of us. So trusting in my shepherd, having Jesus as my shepherd is a transforming process, if you haven't noticed. We need to grow and mature as we walk the difficult paths of righteousness because we ourselves are being trained to represent Jesus for the purpose of becoming shepherds to the world in the future. You understand, that's what the ministry of reconciliation really is. We are being trained to reconcile the world. How are they going to be reconciled? By following what the church shows them to do. We are going to be shepherding them as the Lord shepherds us. We're learning so that we can teach by God's grace. This is a big deal, being a sheep. It is not just being this humble little animal that goes wherever the shepherd goes. Psalm 23, verse 4. This is King James Version. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Is the Lord really my shepherd? If he is, then I am now and will always be faithfully protected when the path becomes treacherous. Jesus will be with us to faithfully discipline and to guide us. The goal of a shepherd is to keep his sheep unhurt and healthy. The goal of Jesus as our shepherd is to keep us healthy and help us mature. Maturity doesn't come through ease and comfort. Maturity comes through testing and trial and difficulty and being unsure and tragedy and trauma. Comes through all of those things. So as Jesus protects us, it is so that we can grow in maturity. That's the definition of keeping us safe and secure. That's what it means for us to be safe and secure. A good shepherd leads his flock by being out in front of them during the day. This is what happens in the wilderness of Judea. During the day, the sun is shining bright and the shepherd is literally walking out in front and the flock is following. As the sun begins to set, it becomes more dangerous. The shepherd no longer walks out in front of the flock. He walks among the flock. He's literally with them so they can actually feel his presence because the sun is going down and danger is increasing. What a beautiful picture. What a beautiful picture for us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Sheep who follow walk faithfully forward regardless of what others do. Why faithfully forward? Because that's where the shepherd's leading. 2 Timothy 4, verses 16 to 18. It's a beautiful example of the Apostle Paul not worrying about what others did as he knew what he needed to do. He says, at my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. Verse 17, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished. So let's pause there. The apostle is saying, I was essentially left on my own for this one. And everybody else scattered. And I knew I had to step forward. Why? He says, because the proclamation might be fully accomplished for his name's sake. You understand that he knew that his job was to be for his name's sake. And even though he felt alone, he stepped forward for the sake of the name of Jesus. He continues, and that all Gentiles might hear. And I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. What a surprise. No, not really. Because he's with his shepherd. He's following where he leads. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. So he's saying, I walk for his name's sake where he leads. He will rescue me and rescue me and rescue me. Paul's final rescue was death. That was his final rescue. Because then he could meet glorification. Because he was mature. because the shepherd had guided him in this sheep-like environment of Christianity so that he could grow up into that mature individual. That's the purpose of us being the Lord's sheep. So yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Brethren, think about that. Have you ever been really scared? I mean, really scared, and you feel like you're alone, and it's probably kind of dark and maybe kind of spooky even. And if you realize thou art with me, you're no longer alone. And it helps us to cope. And that's what the 23rd Psalm is teaching us. For thou art with me. Sheep who follow, know their shepherd is always with them. Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Jesus is about to ascend. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. He's about to go out of their sight, not to be seen in that form ever again. And here's what he says. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So in his spiritual glory, he is with you and you and you and you to the end of the age. You see, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Sheep who follow know that what their experience is, that whatever their experience is, the shepherd brings, it's for their ultimate good. And this is a hard one. Do I really have to go through this? Yes, my son, you do. It is for your ultimate good. Adam Clark says, the former, talking about the rod and the staff, may signify the shepherd's crook, the latter some sort of rest or support. With the rod or crook, the shepherd could defend his sheep and with it lay hold of their horns or legs and pull them out of thickets, boys, pits, or water. So the rod and the staff will pull them back to where they need to be. They comfort me. It probably isn't a comforting feeling if your legs are being yanked. It's not a comforting feeling, but it's a comforting act because it's an act of salvation. Salvation doesn't necessarily feel good, but it produces righteousness. Hebrews 12:11-13 for our spiritual sheep. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful later on, however. It produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather be healed. Chastening is not easy. It's painful. But a shepherd who loves his sheep will not hesitate to appropriately chasten. A parent who loves their child should not hesitate to appropriately chasten, because appropriate chastening is a life-saving, life-building, life-teaching event. Let us never forget that. Trusting in my shepherd. The hard, dark, and unsettling times that every sheep must go through never have to be experienced alone. Never have to be experienced alone. And brethren, you may have a trial or a difficulty that no one else knows about. And it may be weighing you down and you don't know where to go or what to do. Brethren, in that quietness, remember, you are not alone, because your shepherd is always with you. He's always with you. Always take heart in his presence. If we accept the guidance and discipline of our shepherd, then we are assuring ourselves that he will continue to be by our side. We get now to the last two verses of Psalm 23, and David changes the imagery a little bit. He was walking us through the challenges of proper shepherding, and now he focuses on the goodness and blessing that is a result of that successful shepherding. So he's saying the first part is, okay, here's the resume of what he's capable of doing. And the second part is, here are the results of what he has done. Psalm 23, verse 5, this is from the New Jerusalem Bible. You prepare a table for me under the eyes of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup brims over. Is the Lord really my shepherd? If he is, then I now and always have access to great privilege, to be under an anointing of great importance, and be favored with abundant blessing. Take a time out just for a moment. Blessing, brethren, isn't necessarily happy. It's not necessarily exciting. What it is God's providence revealed. And we may be going through very difficult times, but God's providence revealed can bless us even if we don't feel real happy about things. Time for a story for another time, but I've been through experiences where I knew the Lord's blessing was there, even as I despaired personally. And I knew it. And looking back, that was the only thing that kept me looking forward, knowing that his blessing was there. He prepares a table for me. Sheep who follow understand that their privileges cannot be undone by the presence or influence of evil ones. You understand that? Our privileges cannot be undone by evil around us unless we give it permission. Psalm 91, verse 1 and verses 4 to 7. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 4, he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. That's the context. You are there, you are protected, and now come the tumults. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or the arrow that flies by day, or of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come nigh to you. Why? Because you're with your shepherd. You're protected. You're there where you're supposed to be. Doesn't mean it's easy. Doesn't even mean it's happy. But it means that God's providence is exhibiting itself. So he prepares a table for me and anoints my head with oil. Sheep who follow know that they're marked by the unshakable promise of their future inheritance in the form of God's Spirit. It's a simple little sentence. Let's read a scripture to go with that. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 to 14. This is from Young's literal translation. In whom you also, having heard the word of truth, the good news of your salvation, in whom having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of the promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance to the redemption of the acquired possession to the praise of his glory. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of the promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. It is the down payment. It is the promise for something future. I give you this. It's the engagement ring. That's what this is. It's the engagement ring that God provides through our Lord Jesus that says, I am calling you up higher. I am calling you to be with Jesus always. In my house are many mansions. We are given that promise by the Holy Spirit. We just need to be faithful to it because he will be faithful to his promise. He anoints my head with oil. Think of the depth of that privilege. What's the result of this? My cup brims over. Sheep who follow know they live by the overwhelming blessings their shepherd constantly bestows upon them. Again, remember, blessing isn't always easy. Romans 8, 37 to 39. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. We don't just make it. It says we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Then the apostle Paul says, for I am convinced. Let's pause there. He doesn't say, here's what I think is going to happen. or I'm hopeful, or I wish. It says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I am convinced. My cup runs over. Am I convinced that nothing will get in the way of me following my shepherd? Trusting in my shepherd. Brethren, it's almost impossible for us to describe the blessings we as sheep are exposed to while in the midst of turmoil and the darkness of evil. Our shepherd's love for us is tangible. It's not a wish or a thought or a hope. It's tangible. His love for us is tangible, and it's shown to us through God's providence. Our shepherd's love for us is tangible. It is not mere words or emotions. It's expressed in the real blessings of our real lives. My cup runs over. And brethren, sometimes in the deepest and darkest moments of your life, your cup can still be running over. It can. It may not feel like it, but when you look at God's providence in the little things, and you may not be able to look at it and say, okay, I'm standing and I can run now because you're too overwhelmed, but it can still brim over. And many times after an experience, we look back and say, wow, look at all the little providences that were there that I didn't see at the time. My cup runs over. Brings us to the final verse, Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and unfailing love. This is from New Living Translation. I'm sorry. Surely goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Is the Lord really my shepherd? If he is, then I am now and always will be blessed and secure, no matter what may come my way. Again, easier said than done. But that's what the psalmist is telling us. Goodness and mercy will follow me. They'll pursue me. What happens when something's pursuing you? It's chasing you down. Well, if you want to choose something to pursue you, why not have it be goodness and mercy? Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Sheep who follow understand that the source of their strength, guidance, and purpose is the one God of all. We praise him for his plan and for giving us his son to be our shepherd. Goodness and mercy pursue those who follow him. Isaiah 40, verses 28 to 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. We'll pause there for a moment. You know, last night we were talking about the verse in Psalms, and we were talking about the fact that God is not made up of anger. It's simply a tool that he uses when it's necessary. He is made up of virtuous things. And one of those virtues is this untiring movement forward. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to them who lack might, he increases in power. So what he's saying is, in Isaiah, you are in a position where it may be difficult. You may be worn out. You may be running on empty. The Lord can replenish you if you do the following. Though youths grow tired and vigorous men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. It gives you the picture, the strong men, the warriors. They'll stumble eventually. They'll stumble and fall. But if you wait for the Lord, which means you put your trust in the shepherd and follow him wherever he goes, he will give you a new source of strength. And those who do that will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. It's a lifelong process, brethren. This isn't I feel better now. This is growing through the experiences as we follow the shepherd. Sheep who follow know that Jesus, as our shepherd, specifically bestowed serious shepherding responsibilities upon his sheep. Jesus gave shepherding responsibilities to his sheep. This began with the Apostle Peter, who incidentally had his own life revitalized by the shepherd Jesus. Remember when Peter denied Jesus? Remember what happened afterwards, after Jesus is raised and he meets with Peter? As we read through that small part of that account, picture Peter as a cast down sheep. Picture him as having fallen so badly, and he's struggling, and he just can't get up. And the risen Lord comes to him, and he says in John 21:15-17. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my lambs." Verse 16, and he said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." He's approached him. He's got his hands on that sheep, and he's pushing him to stand upright. And he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" He's a little disoriented now. And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep. This is what you were called for. I will be with you. I will teach you." The Apostle Paul, as we close, also firmly encouraged spiritual responsibility among the flock, as protection and encouragement would be continually needed. Acts 20, verses 28 to 30, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock, of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." There's shepherding among the sheep here. "Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave," this is the Apostle Paul speaking, "savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them." The Apostle Paul is saying, shepherd the sheep around you. You must be shepherds. You must be caretakers of the sacredness of discipleship. "Trusting in my shepherd." Sheep who follow are not there to simply receive. On the contrary, our being sheep is for the sole purpose of our growth into eternal representatives of God and his son Jesus, who is our good shepherd. Brethren, let us follow, learn, and grow, and then pass it on to the other sheep. "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing." May the Lord add his blessing.